you didn't know, I'll go ahead and tell you. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bible, I'm going to use my digital Bible. But if you didn't know this, there's a movie floating around the theaters right now called His Only Son, and it's the redemption story. It's pretty good. Sharon and I went and watched it. It's kind of eye-opening, so if you get a chance and you have time, go see that. And the guy who's doing it is going to be creating more movies illustrating Bible stories. And I think he said the next one was The Life of Jacob. So anyway, His Only Son, if you get a chance, go see that. As I was thinking about today, the sunrise is supposed to be at 7:12, at 7:14, so it should be popping up right over there. So when you keep your eye that way, you might be able to see it. But as I was thinking about today and Easter, the resurrection, I thought about these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, you know that the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. And you think your church or the church you've been a part of in the past had problems? It didn't have near the problems that they have there in Corinth. And so he said, "I want to remind you, bring to your remembrance the gospel that he preached." So Paul preached to them the gospel message. Gospel means good news. So he says, "I want to remind you of the good news that I preached to you." And then he says, "of which you received." That, I think, is a key for us to think about. Is it's not just about someone preaching the gospel or someone sharing the good news with you or with someone else, but they have to receive it. You can be in church, you can hear the message, you can hear somebody else tell you the gospel, but as an individual, we have to receive that. We have to take that into our lives. And so he says here, "I preached and you received, in which you stand." It is the gospel that gives us the ability to stand up under the pressures of life, up under temptations, whatever circumstance comes our way. It is the gospel that gives us the ability to stand and our faith in that. And he says, "by which you're being saved." Did you know that when you look at salvation, when you look at the tense of the word salvation throughout the New Testament, it talks about the past, the present, and the future. So in other words, it says here, "by which you are being saved." So you're saved from your past sins. You're saved from whatever sins you commit today. And you're saved from whatever sins you commit in the future. So the salvation you have found through what Jesus has done has forgiven your past. It will forgive your present. And whatever may happen in the future, it'll forgive you there as well. Because that grace has been provided. The one sacrifice is enough to cover all the sins of the world, all of our sins, past, present, and future. So this gospel that Paul's talking about is what is helping them be saved, helping them realize their salvation. And he says, "if you hold fast to the word I preach to you." So you hear the gospel, you receive the gospel, and you continue walking in the gospel. I've seen too many times in American church, especially Western church, where somebody comes and they trust Jesus, they are saved, and then they live their life how they want to live it, as though salvation meant nothing to them. And so I had to get down here closer to my wife so she could hear that. Just kidding. Anyway, The salvation is something that we have to maintain. The Bible says that we work out our own salvation. So we work it out in our lives so we continue to live in it. Here's what he says, unless you believed in vain. Unless you believed in vain. Have you ever thought about that word? There's a lot of people come to salvation for other reasons other than salvation. Maybe all your buddies were doing it. Maybe you were getting pressure from your mama or your daddy. Maybe your spouse was twisting your ear to go and get saved, give your life to Christ. Maybe there was some other reason. I've known people who did it because it made them look good in the community or the type of job that they were doing that gained them respect. So, believing in vain. If you didn't come to Jesus because you recognized you had a sin problem and there was nothing you could do about it, and your only hope was to fall at the Savior's feet and beg Him for salvation, then you've come in vain. Because that's the reason you ought to come, is knowing that you're the sinner and you need help being saved. And so don't, you know, a lot of people come in vain and they believe in vain, and that's not true salvation. He goes on to say, verse 3, here's the gospel. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according or in accordance with the Scripture. So Jesus died. That's who he's talking about. Christ died for our sins. Jesus was perfect. He didn't die for his sin. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. John 1:1 says he was the Word and he was God. He was with God. Philippians 2:5 says he left his heavenly home and he dwelt on the earth, took on the flesh, and he walked among us in order to provide salvation. So Jesus didn't die. They didn't put him on the cross because of some sin or evil that was found in him. He was put on the cross because of our sin. Because your sin and my sin. And notice it says it's in accordance with Scripture. The Bible has foretold this event. It has been prophesied. And in fact, the redemption story begins way back there in the Garden of Eden. When God, as soon as Adam and Eve fell, God began this path of redeeming His people. And you can see that in the garden. And so, it's all based on what Scripture has taught us. Verse 4 says that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. So there again, Jesus was on the cross, He died, and then they buried Him. There's not very many nations that it's a common thing to bury live people. I always find that interesting how many people argue the fact that Jesus wasn't really dead. Well, that brings up a whole new question. If He wasn't dead, why did they bury Him? That's kind of odd. Don't go to that country. They might bury you. You may be alive. You know, it doesn't make sense. He was dead, so they buried Him. And so, in the grave, on the third day, so this was Friday that He died, they buried Him Friday in order to beat the Sabbath. The Sabbath was Saturday. Nothing happened on the Sabbath because they couldn't work on the Sabbath. And then Sunday, when they went to the tomb, He was already alive, already resurrected. So that's why it says on the third day in accordance with Scripture. Once again, all throughout the Scripture, it has foretold that Jesus, the Son of God, was coming. He was going to die. He would be in the grave, and then He would come alive again. And that's exactly what Paul is pointing out to them, is that it did happen. And so verse 5 says, and then He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, to one, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So he says here that not only did Jesus go to the cross, not only did he die, they buried him, he resurrected. Not only did all of that happen, but to prove that it happened, he appeared to many. He appeared to Peter, to the apostles. He appeared to 500 at one time. And at the writing of this letter, Paul said many of them were still alive. You could go ask them. He appeared later to Paul on the road to Damascus. You can find that in Acts chapter 9. You know why he's putting all that in there? Because he wants us to believe. Not only does he want us to believe, but he wants us to go out and share that message with others so they can believe. You know, it's easy for somebody to say, I don't really believe that, but they've never really considered it. They've heard somebody else say that they didn't believe or why they don't believe, and they've never really processed it. So take time, sit down with somebody and share with them what the gospel truly is and how they can come to believe in that. And one of the best things you can do is, if you don't believe, is you believe and you give your life to Christ and you let him do that great work in you. And when he does a great work in you, then that's a testimony in itself to those around you. When they see a true change in you, then they know something has happened. And I remember one time we lived in Toler, and there was some neighbors lived across the street, and on the other side of us was a deacon. He's a friend of mine, and he wanted to go witness to those people across the street. I said, that'll be great. Let's go. So we go over there, and they invite us in, and we're sitting at the table, and we're sharing the gospel with them. And I noticed that there was a young man who was in the house. It was their son. He was probably 17, 18 or something other like that. But he wouldn't come in the room with us. He was in a back room. And anyway, the girl, the daughter, she was listening to us, and then here in a minute she'd leave and she'd go in that back room and then she'd come out. I have a question. And so she'd ask the question, so I would answer it. And she'd say, hold on a minute. She'd go in the back room again and then she'd come back. I have another question. And I knew what was happening. I knew she was going and she was talking to this young man. I knew he lived there. I just didn't know where he was at that time. Anyway, this went on for a little bit. And I kept sharing scripture. Here in a little bit, that young man come. He got so angry, he come flying out of that back room and he ran into the kitchen where we were at. And he was kind of foaming at the mouth. You know how people get. And he was pointing at me. And he said, do you mean to tell me that the God of the Bible believes this? And I said, yes, sir. That's exactly what the Bible says. He goes, well, then I don't believe it, and I don't want to worship a God like that. Well, at that point, I knew our witnessing time was about over. So I closed my Bible and left it laying on the table, and I said, can I tell you a story? He said, sure. I said, and I want you to listen, and then you tell me at the end of this story what happened. He said, okay. So I tell him my testimony. How I was lost, and I was in sin, and I was addicted to alcohol, and I was addicted to tobacco, and I had a foul mouth, and it didn't matter how hard I tried to change all that, I couldn't. And when I met Jesus, all of that changed. The alcohol was gone, the tobacco was gone, my language changed, all of that. And I explained all that to him, and I said, now, would you tell me what happened to me? And he was puzzled. He said, I don't know. He said, it's obvious something happened to you. He said, but I don't know what it is. I said, you know what the difference is? He said, what's that? I said, Jesus. I said, I found Jesus. He's the one that made the difference in me. You know what? That young man didn't accept Christ that day, but he did later on, and he became a Church of Christ preacher. So God can work in a powerful way even through your story. So tell your story about what Jesus did for you, because on this Easter Sunday that we celebrate, we're celebrating the fact that our Lord and Savior paid the price for our sin. Just as Paul was telling the Corinthian church, that is a good news. And we stand in that, we believe in that, we receive that, and we should be willing to share it with others. Amen? Amen. I thought the sun would come up, but I guess not. So here's what we're going to do. Maybe it'll pop out here in a little bit. You'll be able to see it. I'm going to pray for us. And then there's food over there and there's coffee. So we'll have a time of fellowship. And thank you for being here and worshiping with us early in the morning. Anytime I can sit on the horseback, it's always a good morning. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we are humbled to be in your presence out here and just worshiping and thinking about the resurrection. And Lord, I can just imagine on that day when they showed up at the tomb and they found it empty. Lord, what a great day that turned out to be. And Lord, through history, we've celebrated your resurrection. We know that it's affirmation that your sacrifice was accepted on our behalf. We thank you for that. We love you, Lord. We pray for this food that's provided and pray you'd bless it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.